Now, as you open your hearts to receive the Word of God, let's welcome our lead pastor, Eddie Swan.
Good morning. All right, hold up your Bibles and let's jump into the Word today. This is what we say. This is the Word of God. I will choose to believe it over my circumstances. I will choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen. You're so good. Thank you. A few weeks ago, I started a message series entitled Jesus Is. I want you to understand Jesus is in my life. Jesus is everything. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Savior. Jesus is my friend. Jesus is my faithful companion. Jesus is my provider. Jesus is everything I need. Jesus is. Amen? And I want you to get the same idea that I have about who Jesus is. And so the Lord had me go to Scripture and begin to find these different things about these different characteristics about who Jesus is, and I began to talk about them. So 2 weeks ago, I talked about the fact that Jesus is the author of our faith. I want you to understand, I said this in the worship time. Jesus wrote the script. You have to live the script like Jesus wrote the script in order to get the benefit of the script. Week number 2, I talked about him as the perfecter or the finisher of our faith. Jesus hung on the cross. He said the words, "It is finished." Those 3 short, important words, they're absolutely the 3 most important words that Jesus literally ever spoke to us, to the people that day, was the words, "It is finished," in the Greek, tetelestai, and it literally means that at that point, everything was done. Again, grab the picture with me that Jesus is hanging there on the cross and he's saying to his Father, "It's finished, Dad. I did it just the way you prescribed." He's saying to the people that put him on the cross, "It's finished. I know you put me here and yet I'm not holding this against you any longer. You're free." I want you to get that. So it is finished for us means that, where is that? Oh, back here. Here we go. It means that, understand, we live in a new covenant relationship. Remember now, the old covenant was about you keeping the rules, doing all the doing in order to be okay with God. You shall not, the 10 commandments. But in the new covenant, Jesus is the covenant keeper, and he's the one who did it. I choose to remember their sins no more, right? I do it. Not you do it. You just receive it. You're the recipient. Say, "I'm a recipient."
I'm a recipient.
The second part of last week's message was that we have to understand that our forgiveness is complete. See, we in our humanness, we mess up and we think, "God, you got to get back on that cross for me one more time, Jesus, because I'm messed up again." I want you to understand this. Jesus is not getting back on the cross. He's not going to spill his blood again. His sacrifice was so perfect, so sufficient, so absolute that he'll never have to do it again. Your forgiveness is complete. And then lastly, we got to walk free. Listen to me. Christian men and women, we got to walk free. You know why? Because we are. Not you could be, you are. And when you finally come to the revelation, not the realization, when you come to the revelation that you are free, you know what happened? You'll walk like it. Today I want to talk to you about that Jesus is our advocate. Turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. The Apostle John writes this to his this is a church predominantly of Jewish people. There were a lot of people, they had struggled believing that they knew who Jesus was. They had witnessed him walking on the earth. They knew he was a man. They witnessed him do man things. But they could not believe that this man was God. And so throughout this letter that John writes, he's trying to convince these Gnostics that this Jesus, this man that you know, this man that you've seen, this was God in the flesh. Look what he says in 1 John 2:1. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, hey, like it's okay. I know you're gonna mess up because I know who you are. That's what John's saying. John's saying, hey, like that's okay. It's cool. Like, you're not the only person, you're not the only follower of Jesus that ever sinned. It won't be the last one. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Verse 2, he says, he, Jesus, is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. He's the advocate. He's the, in the Greek, the parakletos. And here's the definition of the word. That's the word advocate, the Greek word parakletos. And this is what it means. He's our intercessor, our consoler, and our comforter. I want to jump right into the handout today, into the message about him, for these three distinct roles that Jesus plays in our life. The first one is he's our defender, our intercessor. It says in the definition, he's our intercessor. You say, well, Eddie, you just called him our defender. I want you to understand what the word intercessor means. An intercessor is one who stands between, defending. So look what Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 says. John is on the island of Patmos. He's having this vision from God. And he says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser, now let me stop for a moment right there, the accuser. The accuser is the devil, the enemy, your enemy, the devil. Stands, it says, the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before God day and night has been hurled down. Verse 11, they, the people of God, the saints of God, my children, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. He's our defender. You see, the blood of Jesus has not only cleansed you of all your sin, but it's also your defender. You see, when the enemy stands before the throne, according to this, day and night accusing you, look what he did. Look, God, he says he's this. She says she's that. But look at him, God, the Father, you're going to let that into heaven? When God looks at you now from heaven, child of God, all he can see is the blood of the Lamb. Yes. Oh, that one? Oh, she's covered. Oh, he's covered. Oh, he's covered. I know him. Oh, yeah, that's my son. On this date, he said yes to me, and the blood of my son now covers him. All I see is the blood of the perfect sacrifice that covers him, that stands between judgment and him in him now. I'm standing between him. See, when the accuser comes and accuses you, how many of you, the accuser accuses you? Not forget about to God, to yourself. He whispers in your ear, you know, you really this. You really that. How about this? How about you really did something? You really messed up. Anybody in here really messed up? A few people are like, you really messed up. You know you did it. The enemy knows you did it. And God knows you did it. He's got you dead to rights. And he goes, yeah, he did it. And all I could see is the blood of my son, the blood of the Lamb that covers his sin and all their sin, because I'm no longer holding those things against them anymore. You see, Revelation 12:10 says the accuser stands before God day and night accusing us. And when God looks down, all he can see is the blood that now stands. It intercedes for you and I. It's standing between us and the Father. It's standing between the accusation and what you've done. His blood was so perfect, spotless, stainless, sinless, that not another drop would ever have to be spilled. Not another drop. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, when the accuser starts his persistent hounding, you know you're really not as holy as you say you are. You're really not that. That's a great act you show those people at church. Let me just tell you, first, at this church, you don't need to put on an act. We just real people living real life with a real God. Amen? Amen. Just be who you are, because we'll accept you just like you are. You know why? Because Jesus accepted me just like I am. And when the accuser, the persistent hounding in your ear about who you used to be, and he says things like this, you know you ain't nothing but an addict. Oh, you don't. You know what, devil? You are so right. I used to be an addict. Well, I was addicted to some stuff. But let me tell you know what, devil? There was a day. Let me tell you about that day. And there was a day that I said yes to Jesus, the lover of my soul. And you know what? You're right. I was so addicted. But now I'm just addicted to love. I'm just addicted to Jesus. And those things that once had me don't have me anymore. I'm a free man. Or maybe he says to you, oh, you know, you ain't nothing but a loser. You ain't nothing but a loser. Everything you do ends in defeat. Everything you do is a wrong decision. I mean, you're just like, that was me. Like, I made so many wrong choices in my life. And when I came to Christ and I would hear those words, you're a loser. You're going to make another mistake. You're going to make another wrong decision. I was like, man, it's a good thing I ain't making the decisions anymore. You see, devil? I'm not making the decisions anymore. God, the Holy Spirit living in me, is helping me make the right decision. And then he gives me a word, and he gives me peace to know I made the right choice. And I might have been a loser at one time, but I ain't no loser no more. Maybe he calls you deadbeat, sinner. He calls you unlovable, unworthy. He calls you dirty, unusable. Or maybe a hothead. Oh, I hated that. I lost it in traffic the other day. That girl, when she flipped me off, I lost it. She gave me the one finger wave. I don't understand. I believe if Jesus was on earth, he goes, and like, I wouldn't respond like you did, but, you know, I get it. I live with these people at one time. I understand where you're coming from. Whatever the charge may be, just know this, that the advocate is your defender. In Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5, I quote this every time we do communion because it's so important. Now, I want you to get the context. In Isaiah 53, Isaiah, the prophet, is prophesying about events that would happen about 750 years in the future. So this wasn't going to happen in Isaiah's lifetime, but look what he says. Surely, he said, he took up our pain. Now, the he's talking about here is the future Jesus, the future Messiah walking the earth. Surely he took up our pain and he bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Look what he said in verse 6. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but God has laid on him the iniquity of us all, the sin of the whole world on the shoulders of Jesus, and you have been defended. Amen? You go, yeah, you ever see those court cases where, like, the guy's guilty as all get out, right? You know he did it. The court knows he did it. The prosecution knows he did it, but there's one little problem. Somebody mishandled some evidence. We got a technicality. That's your case. So your case went to the judge, and the judge said, yeah, devil, you're right. He sure did do it. But there's one little technicality. Here's the technicality. The blood of my son. You see it right there? You see that red stuff? That's the blood of my son covering him. He's not guilty. Thank you. Have a nice day. Number two, the advocate is there as our consoler or our reminder. How many of you need Jesus to remind you every day about some things? John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus speaking said this, "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you." The Holy Spirit is in us to remind us of just who we are and what we have as a result of who he is. Amen? Now, what Jesus did for us according to his promises. Now, here's the thing. We have the promises of God available to us according to the Bible. They're yes and amen for the follower of Jesus, right? Now, I want you to understand, we have this because Jesus said we have this, because he did this for us, and it's not some fantasy or just sweet idea. This is real life, factual things, right? Amen? Yeah, this is the kind of church we talk. We go back. So I ask questions, you answer, okay? All right. John chapter 16, verse 7. Again, this is Jesus speaking. "Very truly I tell you, for it is good for you that I'm going away." He's preparing his disciples. "I'm getting ready to go back to the Father." He goes, "Unless I go, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him. And when he comes, he'll prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because the people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." The advocate is in you to remind you, I believe, of these few certain things, these four very important things. The first one is this, that God loves you. The Holy Spirit's been left with you as a reminder of God's love for you. How many of you need a daily reminder that God loves me? Because we have trouble loving ourselves, right? And let's face it, people can be mean. And sometimes you feel like I'm unloved in this world. And I want you to know, even if you feel like nobody in this world loves you, there's still somebody greater than everybody in this world who loves you more than you can even imagine. The advocate is in us to remind us that he loves. Think about this. If God didn't love you, then why would he send his spirit, the essence of God, to live in you? I mean, consider the habitation. Would you live in you? I mean, the way you eat. I mean, come on, brother. You got to take better care of that. Like, you know, this is a dwelling of the Holy Spirit. But we treat it like it's a shed. Like it's a shack. You are loved. And if you weren't loved, God wouldn't send his spirit to live in you. The next thing I want you to remember, he reminds us also that we are the righteousness of God. That we're righteous. Look at your neighbor, tell him, say, I'm righteous. Now, your righteousness, understand, is a gift from God. And yes, listen to me, none of us deserve to be called the righteousness of God simply by our day-to-day actions and behaviors, right? We would probably say on any given day, I wasn't the righteousness of God today. I didn't act like the righteousness of God every time I get in traffic. Every time my wife says something to me I don't like, just like, a lot. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Listen, you are the righteousness of God because Jesus paid the price for it to be so. The next thing he reminds us of is our spiritual gifts that we're gifted. Man, imagine that. That he looks at you and he says, I am so in love with you that I'm going to gift you. I'm going to give you some gifts of the Spirit that lives in you. Here's the catch. The gifts are really not for you. Wait, time out. So Christmas time, you're going to give me a gift, but it's really not for me. It's for somebody else. Why don't you just give it to somebody else? No, I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to use you to give it. God calls you, and God equips you, and God fills you so that he can use you. Here's the catch. He does that so he can use you to do his work the work of the kingdom of God on the earth. Now imagine that responsibility. That the God of the universe thinks so highly of you that he goes, hey, I'm going to give you this special gift so that I can partner with you, and you and I together are going to go win your little neck of the woods for me. We're going to go influence your little neck of the woods, your little sphere of influence. We're going to go influence for the kingdom of God. You're like, right, you got the wrong dude. I swear, you might want to pick somebody else, right? That's what most of us think. And yet God says, no, I got the right guy. I picked you. You have immense value in the kingdom. And lastly, the reminder part is he wants to remind us of our place in the family, that we're sons and daughters. You're not an orphan. He didn't just let you shack up on the sofa. You're sons and daughters of Almighty God. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 tells us that the Spirit, the advocate that Jesus caused to live in us, testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. He's there to remind you, hey, don't worry about what the enemy says. Don't worry about what you've done. Don't worry about what you haven't done. I want you to just think about this one fact. There was a day you said yes to me, right? You're saved, right? Amen? There was a day. And because of that day made me a son or a daughter. This side of the room shaking their heads, this side like, I'm not really sure. I'll speak to this side. Y'all seem to be more with it. You see, you may have to, when the enemy comes and he comes hard and he begins to try to remind you of the things that you're not, you may have to remind him just who you are. Oh no, let me stop you for a sec. Yo, Dev, listen. I was all those things and a whole lot more. But you know, I can take you back. I don't know about you, but there's a spot, a real spot, a real place. I can take you back to the place, and I can go stand in a spot, and it's at the corner of Highway 1088 and Highway 59 in Mandeville. I was driving to the gym, and I pulled into the turning lane next to the Chevron station, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "I want you to come follow me the rest of your life." I began to weep right there, sitting in my truck, and I said, "Lord, I don't even know." I didn't say Lord because I didn't even know what that meant. I said, God, I don't even know what this means, but I will follow you the rest of my life. And that's where I gave my life to Christ. So every time the enemy tries to remind me that or tries to tell me that I'm something that I'm really not, I have to sometimes take him back to that place. And I don't have to go there physically. I can go there right here mentally. Devil, let me explain something to you. I got a spot. See, at that spot was the day God called me, was the day that the voice of God spoke to me so loud and so clear. I'll never forget it. And that day I said yes to God. I said yes to Jesus. And I began to walk with him. And I ain't never turning back. I'm never going back. And you can say anything you want because you have no power and no authority in my life anymore. How many of you remember? How many of you remember, that's a tongue twister, remember the place? Maybe it was an altar, right? It was an altar. It was a car. It was maybe a bedroom. It was a bed at night or kneeling on the side of the bed or some place. I want you to know, get that place in your mind and don't ever forget the place, the words that you spoke, the words that you heard, or whatever was going on in your life that moment, and just remind the enemy when he starts to speak. Oh, no, time out, bro. I'm a child of God. You can say anything you want. I'm a child. Amen? Amen? Number three, the advocate is there to give us comfort. He's our comforter. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. Comfort, the easing or alleviation of a person's feelings of grief or distress. How many of you sometimes need some comfort? And he says he'll comfort us in all our troubles, our burdens, persecutions, and tribulations. In other words, whatever it is that you go through, you don't go through alone. You go through with God. He goes through with you to give you comfort. I want you to understand, anybody in here, let me just ask the question first. Anybody in here have ever been through some stuff? Yeah. If you've been through some stuff, let me see your hand. Yeah. Now, I want you to know, you know, your pastor goes through stuff just like you go through stuff. But you know, the only difference is I go through stuff, but stuff don't go through me. Amen. See, I can go through some stuff without the stuff getting on me. Because I know I'm just a brother passing through. I'm just passing through. It just happens to be the route we're taking today, and I guess I just have to learn to just endure whatever it is, this junk I'm dealing with right now. And you know what? We all go through some stuff. Don't let the stuff get in you. Just say, passing through. We're just going through. Thank you. And you know what? Sometimes you just got to get up in daddy's lap and say, give me a hug, please, Jesus, because I just need a hug. I just need a hug right now. Honey, you just need a hug. Anybody need a hug? I never forget after we started back to church after COVID, I'm a hugger. Like, I hug people, you know? And so people were coming back into church, and I'll never forget, they didn't know whether to shake, fist bump. I'm like, come here. Give me a big old hug. You're not afraid? I'm like, afraid of what? COVID can jump out the window. I ain't worried about no COVID. And if I get, and I had it a couple times. I mean, you know, it is what it is, right? No, we hug up in this place. Because sometimes people just need a hug. The Holy Spirit is in us so that as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we're reminded, like David wrote in Psalm 23, he's with us. How many of you need Jesus with you, right? Now, let me ask you, anybody, you ever feel like sometimes life just throws you a curveball? Ooh, you were getting ready to swing. You were like all set to swing, right? And that ball was, you know, it was going to be served up for you right over the plate. And by the time you finish your swing, it was at your ankles. You're like, dang, didn't see that coming. That's what happens in life sometimes. We maybe unexpectedly, we lost a job, we lost a client, we lost a friend. Maybe somebody close to you hurt you really bad, did something terrible to you that really hurt your feelings. A loved one maybe was taken from your life before you felt like it was their time. Things didn't turn out like you planned. You made a bad business deal. You lost some money in the stock market or whatever it is that happened. And I want you to know, God's going to get you through it. Sometimes we just need the comforter to just whisper in our ear, son, daughter, it's going to be all right. Whew. Sometimes I just need to be reminded that everything's going to be all right. Would you stand with me? See, I believe that our response as we go through the things of life just really needs, this is, I believe, the response that is appropriate for the follower of Jesus. Lord, I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through, but I'm going to worship you right here in it. I'm going to worship you right through this darkness, right through this toughness, right through this difficult season. You know why? Because you deserve to be worshiped anyway. And I'm going to worship my way through. I'm going to hold my head up. And I'm going to worship my way all the way through, because on the other side, I'm going to come out and I'm going to look back and say, look what I went through. And look where I am today. Amen. Somebody needed a reminder that God wants to take you through whatever it is you're going through, because on the other side, he's got a blessing for you. Amen. Jesus is our advocate. In the advocate's role, he's our defender. He's our intercessor. He stands between us and our problems. Stands between God, the judgment of God, and what we've done. He's our reminder, our consoler. He loves us, that we're righteous, that we're gifted, and that we're sons and daughters. And then finally, he's our comforter. Today, if you just needed to experience God. Maybe as one of those things, or maybe some other things. You say, I just needed the reminder that you are my defender, that you're my comforter, that you're my reminder. God, thank you for the reminders of those things. I want to invite you here to the altar, and I just want to pray for you so that as you go with a different perspective than you came in with. If that's you, come now. I want to pray for you. My prayer is that you'll experience Jesus as the advocate in your life, standing between whatever it is that you're going through. God, you are good. We know that, and we acknowledge your goodness. God, maybe even right in the midst of a tough season of our lives. And whatever that may be, God, I just sense that right now by your Spirit that some people are going through just a tough season. But because we recognize it, we know that you're good, we can make it through whatever it is we're going through. And my prayer today for the people of God here at this altar is that they will experience you, the advocate, to defend them, continually reminding them and comforting along the way. God, we give you the praise and we give you the glory because you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. We love you, we thank you, we honor you today, Jesus, with our lives as we go in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.